Certainly appreciate that you are here today and that you are interested in Bible things and that we can study together for a little while this morning. We had a very productive gospel meeting. I know that I benefited from the lessons preached. I know that you did too. Appreciate Jared's hard work in that meeting. This morning, though, we're going to resume the series that we've been looking at on Sunday mornings, in which we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, which begins in Matthew chapter 5. And I thought I'd take just a moment and review some of those things that we've been talking about, and very briefly. We looked at verses 1 through 16, what is commonly called the Beatitudes, and how the attitudes that are expressed there, when we incorporate all of those into our life, they will change our life to be something very special to God. We talked about verses 17 through 20, that Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And how we can destroy the law of God in our lives, or we can fulfill and do those things which God would have us to do. We talked about in verses 21 through 48 of chapter 6, how unrighteousness begins in the heart, and Jesus illustrates that with things like adultery and murder, how that starts in the heart, and how we have to make sure that our hearts are clean so that we don't engage in things that are sinful to God. We talked about how we can do good things, but when we do them out of the wrong motives, just wanting others to see how good we are rather than bringing glory to God, chapter 6, verses 1 through 18 talks about how we can ruin the good by just wanting to be seen. And then we talked about going treasure hunting, where our treasure is, and what things are really important to us. And Jesus talked about that our treasure can't be on earth, but our treasure has to be in heaven. We have to be seeking first God's kingdom. And that brings us to today, chapter 7 of Matthew. You know, chapter 7 of Matthew, I struggled with exactly how to title it, but I think that when we look at what is taught in verses 1 through 12, we see some points that Jesus brings out that he says we need to be ready to help others. Remember how chapter 6 ended? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seeking the kingdom of God, wanting to do what's right, and part of wanting to do what's right is to be a servant to others. Being a servant in the kingdom of God. Well, how are we going to do that? Let's take a look at some things. I would remind you that the theme of these lessons is that our righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And you'll see some ways in this lesson in which the scribes and the Pharisees failed terribly. But our righteousness must be greater, and we must be part of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. I think that this is one of those passages. I'll go ahead and put it up there, and then we'll read it in a moment. I think this is one of those passages that people who are not particularly religious, people who are not particularly well-versed in what the Bible has to say, can quote that first verse of Matthew chapter 7 because they don't want you judging them. Well, let's look at that in context and see if that's really what Jesus' message is. Did Jesus say this so that we can cry out when someone points out our sin, when someone tries to help us, when someone sees and acknowledges changes that need to be made in our life? Did Jesus say this so we can say, judge not that you be not judged? Or was there a little deeper meaning behind it than that? Was Jesus saying it to that person who feels judged, or that person who maybe has a tendency to judge in this way? Well, let's read verses 1 through 5. Jesus does say, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. But why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. As Jesus begins this, he talks about that hypocritical judgment that some were guilty of. To judge them harshly and to look down and to be very condemning toward your brother and to realize that you also will be judged. Here is a great message from this passage. Jesus says you need to value your brother. You need to value your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to value your other human beings. Fellow was the word I was looking for. You need to value your fellow human beings. Don't judge them so harshly, looking down upon them, saying, look how great I am and look how awful you are. Remember the man who prayed? I'm thankful I'm not like him. And the other guy said, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here Jesus points out that if you are going to be someone who is ready to help others, you need to see the value in them. The pulpit is not an appropriate place for someone who takes pleasure in looking down upon others and belittling them and beating them up. The pulpit is a place for those who want to help others to change their lives and to do better. But you know what? That's not just true in the pulpit. That's true in all of our lives. We have to be interested in seeing the value in other people so that we won't judge them harshly and see their sins as huge and our sins as tiny. There's another great point here. Removing specks is a good work. Jesus never says in this passage, when you see something in someone else, when you see that speck in their eye, don't remove it. Removing specks is godly work. What he condemns here is they've got an eyelash or they've got a little piece of sand in their eye. And here you've got a 2x4 or a splinter or something big sticking out of your eye and you're going, I think I see. You need to correct. Don't be a hypocrite. Remove specks, but you cannot help others until you help yourself. Do you see the picture that Jesus is drawing? Fix yourself first. Get rid of the sin in your own life. Get rid of the faults that are there. See your own faults. Are you able to see your own faults? Are you able to see that you're imperfect? You know, it's easier not to be a harsh judge, not to be a hypocritical judge, when you are able to see your own sins as clearly as the sins of others. Let's look at a couple of passages that maybe go along well with this situation. In John chapter 7 and verse 24, Jesus says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Not all judgment. Sometimes we need to be ready to help others, and it requires an evaluation of saying, hey, what you're doing is not right. What you're doing is wrong. There is sin in your life. And I'm not just judging because you're my friend or you're my enemy. I'm not just judging because you dress nice or you don't. I'm not just judging because how you look at me or how you look. But I'm judging because there are things that are wrong that need to be fixed. In James chapter 4, James says, and he speaks the word of the Lord, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? Look at what he equates with judging. Speaking evil. Remember what we said? I need to see the value in other people. I need to see that other people have worth. But if when I get to where I see that they're worthless and they won't hear and I don't care about them, I'm in a dangerous position because I've become the judge rather than someone who is ready to help others. Look at Matthew 23, at Jesus' words there. Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do." Remember, it's not wrong to remove the specks. It's not wrong to help someone and see them that they have a need and try to help them. Jesus says, look at what the Pharisees do. What they teach right. He says, "But do not according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. And they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments." And Jesus goes on to talk more and more about that. Don't set yourself up on a high pedestal where you can look down upon others. But instead, when you try to help others, help them with a recognition that you also have sin, that you also need the blood of Christ, that you need to do what is right. Jesus also teaches in this passage that we need to look for those who are willing. Have you ever just wanted to grab a hold of someone and change their lives somehow? Just be able to, I don't know, brainwash them or hypnotize them and make them do what you know they ought to do. You can't do that. If there are people that you have an interest in helping, maybe the way in which you want to help them is to teach them the gospel. Or maybe you want to serve them in some way, and they refuse, they push you away, they will not take the help, they will not take the instruction. You can't help a person like that. And so Jesus here says that you need to help those who are willing to be helped. Jesus says in verse 6, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." I know that we all want to help other people, but there are some who will not be helped. You know, you have to judge to determine that, don't you? We don't need to judge hypocritically, and we don't need to judge harshly. But what we see there in verse 6 is that we have to find people who are willing to accept the help. Remember when the 70 went out? Jesus sends out the 70 in pairs. And they go into a city, and they would not receive them. They would not receive the message. Shake the dust off their feet and move on to someplace else. And unfortunately, there are times that there are those who will not hear, who will obey, and you can't force them to. And sometimes you have to find someone else to help. We have to be ready and willing, able to help others. But they have to be willing to receive the help that we have to offer. Look there in Matthew 23 again at what Jesus says. Jesus wanted to help. He wanted to help everyone. And in particular here, Jerusalem. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Jesus wanted to help them. They were unwilling to receive the help. And so what does Jesus say? "See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" A change has to take place for us to be able to help someone who is unwilling to be helped. When you say, "I want to teach you the gospel," and they say, "No." Or you show them the truth and they say, "No." Something's going to have to change because the truth is not. Something in them is going to have to change because the truth doesn't change. I'm not saying you never revisit that. You never go back and try to help them. But when someone clearly tells you, "I don't want to study with you. I don't want your help. I don't want you to do anything for me. I want you to mind your own business." Until they're willing to change, You have to go and find someone who is willing to be helped. In John chapter 5, Jesus says, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." So what's the result? Jesus wants to save them. He wants them to have life. But they weren't willing. And so they'd remain spiritually dead. How can I be ready to help others? I can't be the judge. I can't look harshly on them. I can't be staring down at them with this hypercritical, hypocritical way. And I need to find people who are willing to be helped. And I need to pray. Have you ever said exactly the wrong thing? You've said something out of the purest motives, maybe, but the words that you found were just the wrong words. The thing that you did was not viewed with the pure motive that you intended it. Have you ever tried to help someone, and maybe you showed up, and they took that as saying, "Oh, you were judging me. I want to help you. I want to do a good thing for you." And so maybe, you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe you, in a time of need, you go, I've known people who've gone and cleaned other people's houses in a time of death or some great need that they have. You know, "Oh, you must think my house is dirty." Pray for the right actions. Pray for a receptive heart. Pray that you would do the right thing. Pray for wisdom and judgment concerning those things. I think Jesus mentions that there in our passage in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Here in the midst of this, "Don't cast your pearls before swine," and "Don't judge," he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, he will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who seek him?" Sometimes we don't know exactly what to ask for. And so we just ask to be discerning and to be wise and helpful. And he uses this illustration. Someone comes to you. Here he says, "Your son." And he says, "I'm hungry." And so a dinner roll, looks kind of round and smooth. "Well, I'll give him something like that. I'll give him a stone." Or he wants fish. And so you give him something that's going to do damage to him. He says, "You wouldn't do that." God doesn't do that either. God doesn't say, "Oh yeah, is that what you want? Here, I'll give you this." God wants to help. We need to pray for help. We need to pray for wisdom, that our words and our actions would be helpful. We need to pray for opportunities. If you really want to help others, Jesus would tell us, ask for those opportunities. Ask for a time in which you can help. Ask God to help us to help others. Think about that. We're going to bring our prayer before God and say, "God, I know you can help me, and how I want you to help me today is to give me someone, give me an opportunity, give me the right judgment in doing the right thing. Help me to help someone else." When you think about what is written in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Ask knowing that God can answer that. Ask God knowing that God can give wisdom. But ask for that wisdom to help others. Later on in James 3, verses 17 and 18, but the wisdom that is from above, what God gives, it's pure and peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. Does that sound pretty helpful? How about without partiality and without hypocrisy? Doesn't that go along with our first point? Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Ask God to help you to have those qualities as you go out to help others. In Jesus' sermon, in this section, verses 1 through 12, verse 12, truly want to help. You know what verse 12 is? Some of you will say, Matthew 7, 12, I know that. It's what we call the golden rule. It's not he who has the gold makes the rules. It's the golden rule. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Do to others how you would have them do to you. If you were in their shoes, what would be helpful to you? What would you want others to do? Would you give up on them easily? Would you grow weary in doing good? Would you be willing to get your hands dirty and do what's needful to help someone else? Look at what James writes again. Therefore, and this is in chapter 4, verse 17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. We need to be looking for the good and doing it, really wanting to help. What is our motivation? Not to belittle, not to run someone else down, not to make them look inferior, and not to make ourselves look superior and holier than thou, to realize that we're not their judge, that we are willing to help them. We've been praying about this. Here's an opportunity. I want to help. Jesus said in Mark 10, verses 44 and 45, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus wanted to help. He saw our need. He saw the Father's command. He wanted to help. We have to have this pure heart that really wants to help others. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, look at what we're called to do. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Do you want to help? You have to develop that quality in yourself that you really want to serve others. Being ready to help others. You're not going to be the hypocrite who looks down on others thinking you have no sin, thinking they won't obey, they won't listen, I'm not going to give them an opportunity. They're worthless. Don't try to be the judge. That's in God's hands. And he's capable of doing his work. Look for those who are willing. You can't make them willing. But when you find people who need help and are willing to receive it, be ready to help them. Pray about opportunities. Pray for right words. Pray for hard situations. When you have to go to someone and talk to them about sin in their life, when you have to go to them and help them with some physical thing in this life, pray that you do it in the right way and really want to help them. Really be looking out for them like you would want someone to do for you. And so are you equipped to help others? Jesus tells us here how to be equipped to help others. This morning it may be that the help that you need can come from God. The help that was offered on the cross when Jesus died and then he was buried. And through the power of God, he arose. Maybe you need to obey the gospel and be baptized into Christ Jesus so your sins can be washed away. Maybe you've been far away from God. Maybe for a while, maybe for a long time. The help that God has to offer is still available to you. You can still come home. Today, if we can help you to do one of those things, or to pray with you, or to serve you in any way, or to make needs known that need to be prayed about, we're ready to do that. We're ready to help. Not judging, helping the willing, praying, and wanting to do for you what we would want anyone to do for us, and probably have done for us in the past. Will you come as we stand and sing the song?